Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey sis, missed you this morning. Kim told me you weren't feeling well, so I'm just doing a self-care check.
Ah, thank you, friend.
How you doing?
Girl, listen, my energy was so low because I didn't eat breakfast when I got up, so I had to miss virtual yoga with y'all.
Trust me, I understand.
But I'm doing much better now that I've eaten, so I'm back on track.
Great. In that case, let's get some steps in tonight. I'll come over and we can walk around the lake.
Sounds good. Appreciate you being in my business, too. Now, let me get in yours. Did you check your blood pressure today?
I did that and my squats, okay?
Okay.
High blood pressure is not going to be my friend if I can help it. See you at 6?
Let's get it. See you then.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Check in on one another and be a part of a healthy blood pressure movement. Rally Your Squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you.
You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Let it slip, it cough, it check. Talk to doctor now and share.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManageYourBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s, like go back to college, learn to skateboard. Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. At ACERetirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a free 3-minute chat with the friendly digital retirement coach, Avo, and receive personalized tips to help boost your savings. Start chatting with Avo today at ACERetirement.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, the guy that the Chicago Tribune called one of the best investigative journalists in the United States. He's the author of numerous books. He and I together wrote Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy about the Kennedy assassination. Legacy of Secrecy also goes into the Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King assassinations. And his most recent book on this, which he did himself, which is like the most updated version of all this, is titled Watergate, The Hidden History. The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. He also wrote Watergate, The Hidden History, which is a brilliant book. Maybe you're noticing a theme here. So just to recap very quickly, we have a coup plot against Castro that was hatched in 1963 after the Bay of Pigs, after the Cuban Missile Crisis. This is with Juan Almeida, the commander of the Cuban army, who has said he will assist in taking out Castro and he will help take over the country if the U.S. will provide him with support. He cuts this deal with Bobby Kennedy himself through the intermediary of Harry Williams, who Lamar and I interviewed extensively on a couple of occasions, on multiple occasions, actually. The coup plot is ongoing. They were going to have a Soviet-associated patsy take the credit for the assassination of Castro in Cuba on December 1st, 1963. And then, I'm sure I'm missing. Oh, and then we talked to Dean Rusk, and he confirmed that this was going on. He was Kennedy's Secretary of State. We talked to Harry Williams. He confirmed it. Lamar was talking about talking with John Noland, who was Bobby Kennedy's closest aide, best friend, or one of his best friends, and he confirmed that there was actually essentially a cover-up. Lamar, my recollection is that I found a document in the Kennedy Library after I met with Dave Powers, who was in the car behind Kennedy. He was Kennedy's right-hand man.
Right. That was the first page.
And it had Al Haig's name on it.
The Cuba contingency plan. So those are those plans. Bobby had the secret subcommittee of the National Security Council start making in September. Then I later on, I got like 20 more pages from an Army.
Right, and so this plan was in place in case Castro got wind of this new attempt to assassinate him on December 1st, 1963. If he heard about it in advance and decided to take revenge on the United States by killing our ambassador to Panama, was the example John Noland gave you,
exactly,
then we would cover that up by getting that ambassador's body to Washington, D.C., and essentially mutilating it in an autopsy if necessary, and controlling all the information.
Exactly, because the goal would be, as Noland explained, and the documents indicate, but Noland just was bluntly explained. He said, look, the point is you had to control the flow of information to keep the U.S. president from being forced into an invasion of Cuba.
Correct.
Until you
by
get
the American
bottom
public
of all this. Right, you know.
Right. If the word got out that Castro just killed an American ambassador to Panama, the pressure for another invasion of Cuba would be so great. And John Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy were both concerned that, number one, that would get in the way of their December 1st, 63 effort to kill Castro. And number two, it could provoke World War III. Russia
exactly.
would intervene. So
we've gotten so close to that.
So they changed the entrance wound in the front of Kennedy's throat to an exit wound to make it look like he was shot from behind.
They didn't actually. I mean, they were. From everything I have read since, you know, coupled with what Nolan said, someone was literally, and you know, they may have only had 15 or 20 minutes. People should know that the honor guard that was supposed to escort JFK's the hearse with JFK's body from Air Force One to Bethesda lost it. So there are, you know, 30, 45 minutes, like, totally unaccounted for. There are all these different times as to when the autopsy supposedly started. So it looks like, so they weren't mutilating it just to hide. I mean, somebody had a very limited amount of time, and so I think they were literally, you know, so it was a little entrance wound, little tracheotomy incision. They wanted to see where that bullet went.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, so the fact that it was horribly mutilated and large was kind of a byproduct. And so the autopsy doctors and they didn't even know there was a wound in the front of the throat. You know, they didn't find that out until Sunday.
Right.
So two more quick things about Nolan. They're very important. One is, so if somebody watched the Oliver Stone movie, which is good as a drama, but, you know, it was Jim Garrison's investigation that the movie is about, it was like 1967, 68. There's a little information that's more recent than that that's credible, but, you know, otherwise, you know, you're JFK is a well-done dramatic movie that's state-of-the-art as far as what we knew in 68, which, yeah, we knew a lot more by the 70s and the 80s and then the early 90s. You would think that a bunch of shadowy generals controlled the autopsy, but it wasn't. I mean, as Nolan, who was the intermediary, told me, you know, it was Bobby Kennedy who controlled the autopsy through him and through Admiral Berkeley, and there are many other people I cite in the book, you know, people who were there that
right.
confirmed that. And by the way, I don't take anybody's word for anything. I looked hard, and sure enough, there was a Kennedy-authorized book, initially authorized by Jackie, called Death of a President by William Manchester in the mid-60s. If anyone looks in that book, you will see that at Bethesda with Bobby Kennedy was John Nolan.
Right.
Because otherwise, John Nolan is such a low-profile figure. So when people have wondered, what happened to JFK's brain? What happened to all the missing autopsy evidence, tissue samples? What happened to the missing x-rays and photographs? You know, based on what Nolan told me and other research I was able to do after that, yeah, all that wound up with Bobby Kennedy. I mean, that's what all the evidence shows. So, in other words, so it wasn't shadowy general.
And it was because he was trying to protect the world from World War III.
Exactly. Bobby
wasn't. He wasn't trying to cover up some crime that he thought he was part of. He was trying to prevent World War III. And Al Haig was in on this, and Cyrus Vance was in on this.
Right.
And
Al Haig was in part of those. The contingency planning for what to do, guess who they turned to handle all the burial details? Alexander Haig and Joseph Califano, who had both been working on these, you know, both the
right.
coup plan and the plans, the contingency plans to protect the
and
coup.
Both have subsequently confirmed that. So
they've never talked about Commander Almeida or anything, but they talked about, you know, that yeah, they'd worked with the Cubans,
the cover-up, essentially.
And they had worked with, you know, they wouldn't call it that, but you know, and then they had worked on, you know, aspects of the coup plan. So
yeah.
they're both very careful people, or were. Califano's still alive.
So
One last thing about John Nolan. And then we'll get into your interview with somebody who's never been named ever by us anywhere. And that is, Nolan said, so Nolan was a lawyer at the Justice Department, and Nolan said that Bobby Kennedy asked him to do a secret investigation of the assassination, because Bobby Kennedy kept any information about the coup plan away from the Warren Commission. Okay, even though, you know, Bobby trusted some of the people in the Warren Commission, he didn't trust others, and it was actually some of Bobby Kennedy's own people that kind of pressured to create the Warren Commission, because otherwise the only investigation would have been under the control of J. Edgar Hoover, and, you know, Bobby and his aides didn't like him at all. So So how can an investigation be done? Well, so Bobby asked John Nolan, who knew all about the coup plan and who knew some about the mafia, because everything Bobby was doing about the mafia, you know, those papers went across John Nolan's desk before they went to Bobby. And so John Nolan, you know, he probably knew about as much about the mafia as anybody at Justice at that time, the mafia and their ally Hoffa. And unlike everyone else at the Justice Department, except for Bobby, John Nolan knew about the coup plan. And so Nolan did his own private investigation that was only shared with Robert Kennedy. And so you can imagine, one question I asked John Nolan was, well, what did you find? And Nolan said, did you see that Jack Anderson special back in 1988? And I said, yes, I did. That's what got me and my collaborator on this, Tom Hartman, interested. He said, well, he said, that had a very important piece of the puzzle that and again, he's being very careful in his wording, so I'm summarizing what he would take 5 minutes to say, okay? Just want to make that clear. And he said, you know, he implied, I should say, that he had focused on Carlos Marcello, the godfather of Louisiana and Texas, who had been being prosecuted by Bobby's Justice Department in New Orleans pretty much the whole month of November. And he had also, Nolan had focused on Santo Trafficante. But Nolan said the person he was not able to uncover in 1964 was Johnny Roselli. So it was only in the 70s when the Senate committee revealed Johnny Roselli, and in that Jack Anderson special, he said Roselli was the final piece. That's what you should look at, Roselli, Marcello.
Which brought us to the mafia.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Back with more with Lamar Waldron on the assassination of John Kennedy. Today is the anniversary. We'll be right back. Awesome gift for the men in your life they'll love and actually use? It's possible. Give them a gift from Man Crates. Show him you really care with hundreds of totally unique gift options available at mancrates.com. Like the Whiskey Appreciation Crate with a personalized handmade whiskey decanter and tumblers, ice sphere molds, slate coasters, and snacks. Or the Grill Master Crate with a brass knuckle meat tenderizer, cast iron smoker box, steak thermometers, and more. Man Crates packs his gift in unique containers, so watching him open his gift is an unforgettable experience. Personalization is free, and every Man Crates gift comes with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. I think Man Crates are awesome, and so will the man in your life, or Man Crates will make it right. Get 20% off orders over $149 with the code BFWEEK22 at mancrates.com. That's BFWEEK22 at mancrates.com. BFWEEK22 at mancrates.com.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies today with highs around 47. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 33. Tonight, clear skies. Daytime highs approaching 53. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Temperatures near average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the upper 30s to the low 40s. Chance for scattered showers Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. Bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at TomHartmann.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartmann, in bookstores everywhere and online at TomHartmann.com.
Our one-hour free podcast recaps our show, and it's available wherever fine podcasts are found. And we have the full three-hour podcast available over at TomHartmann.com if you want to really support our program. Hey, we've got a new video up over at TomHartmann.com about Big Malian. You heard about this? This is, now, I'm not talking about the George Bernard Shaw play that got made into the movie My Fair Lady and all that kind of stuff. No, this is a PR firm in France. And, you know, when you hear from Americans that, oh, we could never put Donald Trump in jail because only third world countries do that. France is not only not a third world country, they're our oldest ally. And they just convicted their former president for the second time of fraud and corruption around the way he was running his campaigns. Nicolas Sarkozy, they just convicted him a second time. Now, he's appealing both of them. He's, you know, walking around with an ankle bracelet. But, you know, I've got all the details on this video over at TomHartmann.com. You can check it out. But, you know, again, next time somebody says, we can't put Trump in jail, tell them, hey, France did. Okay, we're talking with Lamar Waldron. You're just wrapping up the story of John Nolan and how, and Lamar, you were just starting it or finishing up just a moment ago. We were just talking about how John Nolan was telling you how the CIA essentially tried to kill him.
Exactly. When Nolan was trying to get the last 21 Americans out, this is after the Bay of Pigs prisoners, spring of 63, twice the CIA tried to contaminate with deadly poison a diving suit that Nolan and his partner in the negotiation with Castro, Donovan, were going to give to Castro. When they couldn't figure out the poison right, then they looked at putting an exploding seashell down there so that when Nolan was skin diving with Fidel, they'd both be blown up. So, yeah, so Nolan made a point to tell me that he was not happy when those details came out in the 1970s, and strongly implied that's why he was telling me some of the things he told me. But one thing he didn't tell me, so Harry Williams by this time had given us the name of Commander Almeida, but I wanted some confirmation of that. Nolan never used Almeida's name, and so, I mean, I didn't press it.
Now, let me just pause you for a second. Almeida was the head of the, for people who might have just tuned in, Almeida was the head of the Cuban Army. And
the
was
founder of the Cuban Army.
The founder of the Cuban Army. He was black. He was the highest black official in Cuba. He had become very disenchanted with the revolution. He thought Castro was turning Cuba into a dictatorship, and he had reached out to Harry and to Bobby Kennedy and said, I will help take out Castro on December 1st, 1963, if you guys will backstop me.
Exactly. So I didn't press Nolan on Commander Almeida's name because he was giving me so much other great stuff. Yeah, and by the way, at the end of the conversation, Nolan was very pleasant the whole time, but he made it real clear, yeah, this would be our only conversation and we would never meet. You know, and I'm just grateful. Hey, you know, you've been super helpful. So, but we. we and I, we always try to get confirmation for everything. So Harry had given us Commander Almeida's name. Dean Rusk had only indicated the position. John Nolan had indicated the position, but we needed another confirmation on Almeida's name, because that's how we manage the millions of facts about the JFK assassination, is only using stuff in our books that we can find independent corroboration for. We never take anybody's word for anything. So how would we get that confirmation? Well, Harry said one of the five fingers was the commander of the Cuban-American troops at Fort Benning, Georgia, who would be the first U.S. troops to go into Cuba, this multiracial brigade who was commanded by a black man named, I believe it's pronounced, Hernando Oliva.
Hernando Oliva, yeah.
And
he was a brigadier. When I met him, he was a brigadier general, was he not?
Right. So at that time, he was the brigadier general at the Washington National Guard, who was in charge of the Washington National Guard, which for a black man in 1992, you know, most people didn't know there were black generals until Colin Powell. You know, that was a major accomplishment. In addition to the fact, then General Oliva was Cuban American, and so. Basically, Harry said, look, he knows all about the coup plan. You should talk to him. You know, he was one of the leaders at the Bay of Pigs. He was the leader of the Cuban Americans who would be the first U.S. troops, the multiracial brigade that would go into Cuba after the coup at the invitation of its new leader, Commander Juan Almeida. And so you arranged to General Oliva back in 1992.
Yeah. And yeah, I made an appointment with him, got on a plane, went to Washington, D.C. He was in the, my recollection is that he was in the building that was the National Guard, but it was one of these old 1950s buildings. And I waited a while outside his office, and finally, I was let in. And here's this guy in his general uniform, and in this big room. And on the far end of the room was, as I recall, a fairly loud window air conditioner and a couch. And so I sit down and start talking with him, and we're talking about Harry, and he's like, oh, I haven't seen Harry in a decade. You know, we used to go fishing, and you know, Harry's just a wonderful guy. And so, you know, it was just kind of this chatty thing.
And people should know. So you and I had developed these questions for General Oliva.
Okay? Right.
And in the middle of the questions, you were
doing the questions. I asked him about Juan Almeida, the commander of the Cuban military, and everything went to hell. I'll tell you about that after the break. It's 27 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Lamar Waldron. He and I wrote two books about the Kennedy assassination. He wrote a third. It's called The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Who killed Kennedy, how, and why? And we're going to do a deep dive into the mafia right after this break, too.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You could have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day with no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. That's 800-307-0603.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet.
I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
They were going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Christian Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
As Goes Wisconsin with Christian Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 a.m.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
it. We almost did it. We're still going to get through today. But we did it. We live to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Christian Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Yeah, whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yeah!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. So we have a new video op-ed over at TomHartmann.com. So have you ever heard of molnupiravir? It's a new drug that actually looks like it reduces the probability that you will end up hospitalized or dead from COVID-19. It's a five-day course. You take a pill every day for 5 days. It costs Merck, the company that is selling it, $17.74 to make that five-day, five pills. And they are selling it to you and me, to the federal government, for $712 per five pills, per, treatment course. And you say, what? And here's where it gets really interesting. The Defense Threat Reduction Agency, which is part of the Department of Defense, provided $10 million of funding to Emory University to develop this drug, and $19 million in additional grants came from the National Institutes of Health. We paid to develop this drug, and now we're going to pay $700 for it? Really? Check it out. There's a video over at TomHartmann.com all about it. Welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron about his latest book, The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, and the two books that came out prior to that that he and I worked on together, Ultimate Sacrifice, Legacy of Secrecy, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy. So just to recap, we're trying to, do you want to do the quick recap, Lamar?
Well, yeah. So basically, the first of the two dozen people that worked with John and Robert Kennedy, who basically gave us the high-level view of what happened and why everything was kept so secret, because we were getting ready to stage a coup against Fidel Castro on December 1st, 1963, that would be led by the number three man in Cuba, the head of the Cuban army, and Castro's death would be blamed on a Russian or a Russian sympathizer. And those sources were, in the order we talked about them, and that we interviewed them, were JFK Secretary of State Dean Rusk, Bobby Kennedy's close friend and the top Cuban exile aide in the secret operation, Harry Williams, and John Nolan, who was Bobby Kennedy's closest aide, who saw every top secret piece of paper that went to Bobby Kennedy, went through John Nolan. And then that brings us to the other man that confirmed that Commander Almeida was the guy who was going to lead the coup plan, and that was, he was a general. When you talked to him, I think it was back in 1992, General Oliva, and we had written up these questions, and we were just going to kind of slip, you were going to slip Commander Almeida's name into the conversation, just in a matter-of-fact way. You weren't going to say, so who was the guy? No, you were just going to ask a question that almost assumed that did assume. That General Oliva knew who Almeida was, and that Almeida was the top guy in Cuba working on the coup plan. Right. So now I will pitch it back to you, because as soon as you ask him that question,
all hell breaks loose. Well, and also just to put this into the context, at that time that you and I were writing this book, we assumed that this plan died with John Kennedy or in the months immediately thereafter.
And I think by that time, I was generally aware that Commander Almeida had not been seen in Cuba for at least, I think by that time, but by about 3 years or so.
Right.
So
we thought he was dead. Right. So here I am assuming that Almeida is dead and assuming that this plan, this top secret coup plan that it was supposed to be executed on December 1st, 1963 was a dead plan. And so I'm sitting in the office of this Brigadier General in Washington, D.C., who was going to lead, had been at Fort Benning, with the Cuban troops that they were that they were going to bring into Cuba after the death of Castro
because he was a Cuban American. He'd been a leader at the Bay of Pigs.
Right.
He was black. He was going to lead that multiracial brigade in right after.
And he was such a sweet guy. I mean, we had this wonderful conversation. And then I said, so, one of the things that Harry mentioned to me was that General Juan Almeida, the commander of the Cuban military, was in on the deal and was going to, take over Cuba when John Kennedy was assassinated. And at that point, Oliva just goes, he jerks upright, he gets up, he walks around his desk, I'm sitting in a chair opposite his desk, grabs me, my recollection is he grabbed my lapel, and essentially drags me over to this, to the window where this air conditioner is running, and says, "Don't you ever say that name again. That is an active operation. That man is still around. This is top secret, and you could be executed for talking about this," or words to that effect. That's my recollection. So back to you, Lamar. At that point, and by the way, at that point, we had this oh crap moment and realized maybe we have to novelize this. I mean, this is why Al Maheda's name does not appear in the first two books, because neither one of us wanted to go to prison for the rest of our lives.
Right. You know, so basically, thanks to Harry Williams and John Nolan and Almeida, you know, we were part of the cover-up. You know, again, the JFK movie, which is good dramatically, but it was really not state-of-the-art as far as what was known about the JFK assassination at the time, certainly not today. You know, I think there's a line, words to the effect, I'm not quoting it exactly, but if you figure out, so in the JFK movie, I think Kevin Costner, as Jim Garrison says, words to the effect, if you figure out who was behind the cover-up, you'll know who did the crime. Well, that's not true, because, you know, Bobby Kennedy covered up a lot. You and I covered up a lot, because we didn't, A, we didn't want to get shot. B, Commander Almeida made another appearance in public about a year or so after you interviewed General Oliva. So,
and Oliva had told us that it was still a live operation. So we're thinking, okay, Almeida may be, you know, killing Castro any day now. And it was just insane. So, Lamar, we only have a few minutes left here. We've got probably a total of 15 minutes left.
One more thing about Commander Almeida. Actually, I'll save that for the break time. So what was the plan to kill JFK? And so we now know preventing World War III was a big cause of a lot of the cover-ups. But, you know, the other cause of the cover-ups, every one of the big agencies had a lot to hide. Because the mafia had found out about the coup plan, even though they were barred from the coup plan or from reopening their casinos, and they had infiltrated it through people like Johnny Roselli, through people like Jack Ruby. Believe it or not, there's actually, in the Warren volumes, not in the report, but in the volumes, yeah, there's an indication that Jack Ruby knew about the coup plan. We know that the guy that Joe Pesci played in the Oliver Stone movie, which again, I like dramatically, Joe Pesci gave a great performance, of a guy by the name of David Ferry, who was a CIA agent, that was later confirmed by the executive assistant to one of the CIA directors, and so David Ferry was also working for the mafia. So again, you just see that constantly, that almost all the mafia people involved were also working for the CIA. So the CIA was continuing their plan, developed under Vice President Nixon in 1960, to kill Fidel, and they continued it even after the coup plan was well along its way, I think, if for no other reason than is kind of a backup. I mean, what if
Bobby
is all set for a coup and Commander Almeida is killed in a car wreck?
Well, right. And John and Bobby thought if this had been shut down, they thought the mafia was out of this.
Oh, yeah, they thought that was all shut down in the spring of 62. It was still going.
So the mob now knows that there's this plan to kill Castro and that there's also a plan to cover up any consequences that may come out of it, like Castro seeking revenge and killing the U.S. ambassador to Panama.
Well, right. And anybody just reading the newspapers at the time, remember, this is still a year after we all thought we were going to get blown up at the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
So the mob knew that the more they could connect their assassination plot to the coup plan, the more high government officials would be forced to cover up. Even the bullets in Oswald's rifle, the Dallas gunsmith who probably sold those is in an FBI document talking about all the money that can be made in the stock market when this upcoming coup in Cuba happens. So you can tell why he wasn't taken to Washington to testify in front of the Warren Commission. So basically the mafia adapted the plan that was going to be used to kill Fidel, which we don't know in detail, but I cite a lot of evidence, especially in JFK, the hidden history, or the hidden history of the JFK assassination, and in the even much bigger, much more detailed book, the first book, Ultimate Sacrifice. And by the way, people always want to get the trade paperbacks of our books, these, you know, the JFK books and the Watergate book, because they have additional information that is not in the hardbacks. But I make a good case that Castro was probably, so Castro, he didn't like limousines. That wasn't the revolutionary style. He would travel between cities and to his estate in Veradero Beach in an open Jeep, you know, to show he's a man of the people, right? By the way, his estate in Veradero Beach used to belong to Bobby Kennedy's wife's family.
Wow.
So the best place to kill Fidel would be when he's in that open Jeep. You could have professional sharpshooters kill him. You could set up somebody else to take the fall. It needed to be in public, just like the JFK assassination needed to be in public, so that, you know, Raul, if he didn't die, couldn't hide the fact that Castro had been killed. So that's also why JFK had to be killed in public, so Bobby Kennedy couldn't hide the fact that JFK had been shot or was a vegetable, and while Bobby secretly ran the government.
Right. Plus, you know, public killings were the way the mafia did business. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with Lamar Waldron in just a moment. It's 45 minutes past the hour.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation. Billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time. Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
800-653-2073. 800-653-2073. 800-653-2073. That's 800-653-2073.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Look out, world, we're getting strong. The future's here and we belong.
She can step, she can do more.
Like build a rocket and watch it soar.
We'll clean the oceans and make the world a better place.
Invent something new. There's no challenge in the world that she can't face. She can STEM.
Learn more at She Can STEM. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly sunny skies and calm today with a high of 47. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 33. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow, highs around 53. Daytime highs approaching 40. Sunday, with a chance for scattered rain showers. 41, sunshine mixed with clouds at times, Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold. Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Back in the 2020 election, there were three issues actually that polled higher than President Biden did and Democrats in general. And one of those issues was the legalization of marijuana nationwide, not just the decriminalization, but the legalization, doing away with marijuana on the schedule of narcotics, making it so that, you know, marijuana pharmacies and dispensaries could bank with a normal bank, all that kind of thing. This was so popular that a Republican now is getting ahead of this. Democrats, we are falling behind, right? This was more popular than Joe Biden. Democrats need to jump on this. Representative Nancy Mace, a Republican from South Carolina, has just introduced the States Reform Act, which repeals federal prohibition of marijuana, expunges federal nonviolent marijuana crimes, and promotes local ownership. We've got a video about this over at TomHartmann.com. You need to check it out. And welcome back. Tom Hartmann, Lamar Waldron here with you. And Lamar, we've got about 4 minutes to wrap this whole thing up. How did the mafia kill Kennedy?
Basically, they adapted the plan that was probably going to be used to kill Fidel by Commander Almeida, and the Mafia, even though they were barred from that coup plan to reopen their casinos, and so since it was Johnny Roselli, the Chicago Mafia's man in Las Vegas and Hollywood, the closest mobster to the CIA, the first attempt was going to be done in Chicago. The mob's plans don't always have a backup plan. Even their backup plans have backup plans. The backup plan for Chicago was Tampa, Florida, 4 days before Dallas. And so the third choice would be Dallas. And so we know from Secret Service agent Abraham Bolden, the first black presidential Secret Service agent personally selected by JFK to be the first black presidential Secret Service agent, and other evidence that there was an attempt planned to kill JFK in Chicago. The Secret Service there lost surveillance on the potential assassins. They did arrest the Patsy, who an ex-Marine with a lot of interesting similarities to Oswald, who worked in a warehouse overlooking the Chicago parade route. JFK was so concerned that they canceled not just the motorcade, but the entire trip at the last minute, a visit to a big football game with powerful Chicago Mayor Daley, probably the most powerful Democrat in the country on that level, and they had JFK's press secretary, Pierre Salinger, who I interviewed, give two phony excuses in the space of 30 minutes, because they didn't want to say, oh, well, JFK didn't go because he was afraid he was going to get shot. So that didn't work. They next looked at Tampa, Florida, where JFK was going to have the longest motorcade of his presidential career. Again, the local police and Secret Service and FBI found out that there were actually two plots to kill JFK. They didn't know it was one plot. They knew there was a white supremacist on Miami police surveillance tape talking about JFK being shot with a high-powered rifle from a tall building. And then there was another plot and actually these are all part of the same plot, that was related to the mafia. So JFK was going to give a speech that night with words the CIA had helped him write, directed to reassure Commander Almeida that JFK was 100% behind him and he should go ahead with the coup.
2 weeks
and
later.
So JFK could not cancel his Tampa motorcade, so even I interviewed the Tampa chief of police. Tampa chief of police said, look, we got too many tall buildings, we can't guard all of them. You know, the biggest hotel in Tampa, this big tall building that between you and I looks like the school book depository, only bigger and all the windows open. You shouldn't do this. JFK couldn't explain to him why he had to do it, and he did it, and then it was nerve-wracking. Jackie was not with him. JFK went to Miami that night, gave the speech with the lines in the middle of
to
it.
Tampa.
He finished his Tampa motorcade, then he flew to Miami.
Oh, then he went to Miami, yeah.
He beat in Miami to a press group, and the next day, some of the papers, like Dallas Times-Herald, JFK virtually calls for Cuban coup. But Commander Almeida got the message, says, that's good enough for me, let's go with it. And so, in Dallas, see, people let their guard down. That's why most of the Secret Service agents on JFK's presidential detail went out drinking until between 2 and 5.
Because they thought they just dodged the bullet in Tampa.
Exactly. They'd been tenseness with Chicago. You know, Tampa was horrible. Now they can relax. Well, of course, they couldn't relax. We know what happened. You know, as far as, by the way, there was a patsy in Tampa who had 26 similarities to Oswald that I detail. I summarize in the Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. I give you every detail in Ultimate Sacrifice.
Right.
And so, you know, if something had happened to Oswald that morning, you know, the Tampa patsy went to Dallas after Tampa was called off. By the way, the head of the Tampa Police Intelligence Unit, what used to be called the Red Squad, but was then called the Police Intelligence Unit, was working for Sandro Trafficante. That's how Trafficante found out. The police knew, Secret Service knew. That's why they called that off. But again, see, everything looked, everybody could finally relax. And so JFK, and this is in the book, is talking about how easy it would have been for someone to shoot him from a high building, or when he was at the airport flying into Fort Worth, it would have been easy for someone, you know, because of what had happened in Chicago and Tampa. So then, you know, this all happens. Oswald, by the way, the Navy, Naval Intelligence, Marine Intelligence, they did their own investigation of Oswald. They concluded he was incapable of doing the actual shooting or masterminding the assassination. I talked to somebody who helped with that investigation, who monitored Oswald before the assassination, and basically, you know, yeah, Oswald didn't do it. You know, professionals did it. I mean, and basically Nolan had said, after Nolan basically told me it was Marcello Trafficante was out, I said, so you mean it was like a mob hit, you know, with professionals? He was like, oh, yeah. I mean, Nolan was so dismissive of I mean, it's like the fact that Oswald could have done this, you know, it's just like, that was just not even worthy of, you know, consideration. So bottom line is, the files were supposed to be released back in the late 1990s, the CIA and all the other agencies stalled, and then they were still supposed to be released after that. They weren't. They were supposed to be released in 2017. They weren't. Trump kicked it to 2018. Joe Biden has now kicked it until December 15th of this year, but he's given the agencies an out. If you ever want to see those documents, though, call the White House, call your member of Congress, your senator.
Lamar Waldron.
Never get to see those documents.
The three books, Lamar and I together wrote Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, although Lamar did the heavy lifting, and Lamar has since written Watergate, The Hidden History. It's a brilliant trilogy. Lamar, thanks so much.
And The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. Reading the wrong line. Thank you, Lamar. And thank you all for watching us. Get out there, get active, tag You're It. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
An old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partner.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.